Hey, TJ.
Hey, Kevin.
Today's 69 cent special is a 2-pack. That's the cold open. That's
oh, it. Okay.
Attention shoppers. Today's 69 cent special is a 2-pack. TJ Cole and Kevin Smith.
I wish it were me.
Ha!
That had a bear behind him.
Oh,
it was behind
nice.
You.
Welcome to 69 Cent Special. We apologize in advance.
He's TJ Cole.
And he's Kevin Smith. God, you almost tripped me up with that one.
I almost tripped me up with that one.
Oh, no.
I almost called you TJ Smith.
And that's Kevin Cole.
Kevin Cole sounds like a wrestling commentator.
Or like a comedian.
Hey guys, I'm Kevin Cole.
Sorry, whenever I think of comedians now, I think of that Jackbox game, whatever it's called.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Forgot the name of it.
Joke Boat. TJ.
Kevin.
We've had it too good for too long.
Are you sure about that?
No. We did just watch.
We haven't had it good except once when we watched Flying Ryan.
Well, that's
and Future Sport.
Free Jack.
There was a period of time where we were hitting like fucking good ones.
And you know what a lot of those good ones had in common?
What's that?
They were sci-fi epics starring recognizable names.
Correct. Especially Flyin' Ryan.
And Dean Cain.
Yeah. Well, the big name in Future Sport was Wesley Snipes.
Right.
Yeah.
But only as a guest star.
Even though he was like almost in it more than Dean Cain.
And also it's a movie.
Yeah, exactly. This isn't like a guest appearance on a TV show.
But we already made that joke.
Hey.
And
if we're known for anything, it's reusing our jokes.
Well, because we forget that we've said a lot of them.
Who are you?
Who am I?
Where am I? Dude, at some point we need to do like a...
Breen special?
Like, yeah, just all the Breen movies.
Breensmas.
Yeah. Oh.
God, that's what Halloween.
Halloween. Oh my God! Like
we're not gonna remember.
No, like we'll have to record like a review of each of the Breen movies, and then each week in October.
Oh God!
I know. We release one.
We'd have to watch all the Breen movies. That's the worst part.
That is the worst part.
Because we'd have to watch Double Down again.
Fateful Findings, I'll gladly watch again.
Oh God! But... And Twisted Pair, we'd have to fucking contemplate what the fuck actually happens in that
and
movie.
And be sober this time.
Oh, and. What's a
Double Down? Then I Am Here Now. Oh, sorry, I Am Here
Now.
A friend of ours on Discord.
Yeah,
her status is I am sick
now
with 4 periods.
Very nice.
I'm like, oh, well done.
Well done.
That was
nice
excellent
peaking.
Excellent meme.
Well, TJ.
Yes.
Since our best movies to watch, arguably.
Mm-hmm.
Have been sci-fi epics with recognizable names, except Flying Ryan, which of course has no names in it whatsoever, except perhaps Ryan. Oh, and Heelys.
Yes.
I guess that makes it a sci-fi epic with a recognizable name.
Because
Heelys.
Only in science fiction would that kid be an actor.
Only in science fiction would Heelys be worn unironically.
We're considering the early 2000s science fiction at this point.
They basically were.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm not sure if they actually existed.
Did they?
I feel like they're happening again now.
We faked the moon landing. Why didn't we fake the years 2003 to 2005?
Exactly. I mean, shit.
Do you have any memory of those times?
Where are your kids? It's 10 o'clock. Where are your children?
When are your kids?
I mean, I'm stuck in like 2008. That's when I peaked.
I still haven't peaked yet.
Nice.
Well, I'm just... Well, it's been zero. So I guess technically...
It's hard to peak when you flatline.
Yeah, technically I peaked at one. I peaked at birth. But basically what I'm getting at is we have a 2-pack of DVDs. And
hell yeah.
The first one we're going to watch is Laser Mission.
Yeah, starring Brandon Lee.
Brandon Lee, may he rest...
in peace. Yeah. He got killed on the set of a movie.
The Crow.
The Crow, that was it. I knew it was some sort of bird. I was going to say the
Was it
dove?
Crow or Crow 2?
I don't know.
We should probably have looked this up.
Yeah. I'll take care of it. You got a back to read, dude.
You look up Brandon Lee. And I'll read. So laser mission, the cover tells me nothing. Except perhaps that there's a laser and a mission.
Yeah.
And it's a DVD double feature that does not use the DVD logo anywhere on this.
Really?
Yeah.
Who is the...
Oh, it's compatible with all DVD players. This is a pirate.
It was the first Crow.
This is a pirate disc.
Is it a pirate disc?
Oh, it definitely is. Because it's compatible with all DVD players made in China.
Oh, yeah. It's probably a pirate disc.
It's very thin.
Hell yeah, dude.
Abraxas is not rated.
I don't think it was ever rated.
So, laser mission.
Yes.
The CIA and KGB are in a race to reach renowned scientist Braun in Cuba. His name is Braun. He is in Cuba.
Oh, okay. Got it.
His name is not Braun N. Cuba.
My name is Braun N. Cuba.
The CIA sends mercenary Michael Gold, Brandon Lee,
oh,
to get to the scientist who holds the knowledge to using a recently stolen diamond to construct a laser cannon that would help the country that acquires it achieve global domination.
Oof.
That's a long sentence.
That was a mouthful. Holy shit.
The race is on, and the fate of the world is in Gold's hands.
Do you want to know who plays Professor Braun?
Who?
Ernest Borgnine.
We got him back!
He's back on the show, shoppers!
Oh, God. He's going in our pantheon.
He's gotta. Who else was in our pantheon?
Dean Cain, I think.
Yeah.
The
God of the Underworld.
What?
What?
Dude, if Dean Cain was Hades.
Is that Hades?
Is that Dean Cain? Dean Cain, Grandel Bush.
Oh, yeah, Grandel Bush. Hell yeah, dude.
Basically, this is our pantheon showing up in multiple movies.
Clarence Gilliard. Absolutely.
By sheer technicality.
by
being in a movie and then its sequel.
Right. Also by fuck, I can't words today.
Well, it's good that we're doing a podcast then.
I know, right? I can't use my mouth today. No, the word for nepotism.
It's kind of reverse nepotism.
Yeah.
I'm name dropping him.
But yeah, those are the only two three notable actors in
this
movie.
Who's the third?
There's Brandon Lee, there's uh-huh. Ernest Borgnine, and Graham Clark.
Graham Clark.
He's the only other one with a picture.
Who's Graham Clark?
Graham Clark, he was, who the fuck? He was in Space Mutiny.
What? What?
Hold on. What character is that? Scott Devers.
Which one is he?
I'm trying to,
He's not Yelling Man.
No. I don't know who Scott was.
Is he evil?
No, that was Calgon.
Okay. Oh, that's right.
Wait,
why is there a...
Wait, no. Hold on.
Why is there a normal named person in Space Mutiny?
Would anyone else like to confuse freedom with treason? Scott Devers. Space... Not bowling. Space. Mutiny.
Who do you think you are? I am.
You know, I don't need this. Oh, we miss a line? Oh my god, it was the Sting looking dude.
Stang is in this movie?
Stang is in this
also,
movie.
Also, there's a Space Mutiny wiki.
This is a Heroes wiki. I don't
what?
What wiki is this for? It's just a wiki of protagonists. This is fucking weird. It's just called Heroes Wiki. I don't know what that means.
You'll have to send me a link so I can put it in the goddamn show notes.
It's hero.fandom.com.
Oh, okay.
It's fairly simple.
Oh.
Anyway, so...
when you say Heroes Wiki, I think... Oh, the show
I think
Heroes.
The show... Exactly. You'd think the show Heroes, but no. These assholes had to make it hard.
Well, fandom.
Got him.
TJ?
Yes?
Do you have any trivia about Brandon Lee?
Brandon Lee, he was killed on the set of Crow by a blank.
Well, it was supposed to be a blank.
Yeah. I mean, even if you're really close to a blank, it can fucking hurt.
I believe it was a, regular bullet.
What a dingus.
He didn't do it.
He is the son of Bruce Lee.
Right. Do you think we're going to get any karate kicks on this movie?
Dude, I hope so. I hope to God.
I hope we get at least
if
one kick.
If he's a CIA agent, yeah, he's going to be fighting the KGB. KGB.
Well, he's not in the CIA.
Oh, he's not?
He's a mercenary.
Oh, he's a mercenary. Oh, even more chance of karate.
I don't think he's going to do karate.
Or at least a kicking.
He's going to do a kick.
Yeah.
Is he going to say hi-ya?
Let's see. Oh, no, it was... So a gun loaded with full power blanks, but there was a bullet that had been dislodged from a previous shot in the barrel.
Oh.
So it was a very unfortunate accident.
That's a really unfortunate accident.
That's like a freak accident.
Okay.
It really is.
Now, TJ.
Yes.
What is our policy on mocking the dead?
Have
we already made fun of Ernest Borgnine?
Probably. I mean, after the showing and whatever that fucking turtle movie was. He was the best part of that movie, though.
He was. Is he going to be the best part of this movie?
My thing is this.
Uh-huh.
I don't see mocking a performance or the direction an actor is given
right.
as mocking the person.
Okay.
If we say Ernest, if we say something like that person is an idiot and stupid and why the fuck did they do this? I don't like that.
Unless we're talking specifically about Kirk Cameron.
Exactly. We can mock him all we want, living or dead. And
or perhaps
or undead.
In some stage of neither.
In some stage of weird internal rotting.
God, you guys dodged a bullet because we had a different potential.
I mean, and I guess like how many Mystery Science Theater movies and how many of that are filled with dead people?
Just ghosts.
Yeah. Like I feel mocking the movie is not mocking the person.
Okay.
And as long as you don't cross into personal attacks.
Plus, Brandon Lee is objectively fucking rad as hell.
Exactly. Like, I think he's fucking awesome. He's the son of Bruce fucking Lee.
Yeah.
Like, sure, that doesn't, like, grant him coolness, but...
He's a little bit like Gohan.
Yeah.
From Dragon Balls.
But, like, dead. Is Gohan dead?
He died once.
I haven't followed One Piece. I haven't followed Dragon Ball Z either. I was just mentioning I don't follow One Piece. There's a lot of One Piece.
There's
One Piece is still going.
It's about to end.
Is it on issue like 408,000?
It's about to end.
Oh my God, finally?
Yeah.
Wow. That's surprising. I thought it was going to be like those death and taxes sort of things. Like the only surefire things in life are a new issue of One Piece and death and taxes.
Nope, dude's done.
Wow. Well, good for him.
Also, I'd love to read Death and Taxes.
That'd be an interesting manga.
TJ.
Kevin.
I want to get to watching this film as quickly as possible.
Yeah, because we got two to watch today.
So what do you expect?
I expect Russian stereotypes.
Definitely.
Because we have the KGB. I can't say KGB.
I also...
KJ, because KJ... Never mind. Also, my name is TJ.
You have to... Think about... You're talking about, like, a B.
Oh, a KGB?
He's being really, like, oh.
Yeah, like he's not giving any information out.
He's like, oh, you got to waterboard him.
Yeah, whoa.
Don't waterboard
down,
these
KGB.
Kids.
Yeah, that does help. I expect, what else did you say?
yeah, hold it upside
Michael
down.
Gold.
Yeah.
To get to the scientist.
Honestly,
so Braun is the scientist.
Yeah.
That's Ernest Borgnine.
Bernest Borgnine.
I expect his great voice.
Mm-hmm.
Sting. Oh, laser cannons. I expect hilarious laser shots.
How bad is the effect going to be?
I don't think it's going to be like Space Mutiny bad.
Mm-hmm.
But these actually came out around the same time.
Did they?
Yeah.
When did Laser Mission come out?
Laser Mission came out in 1989.
Really?
Yes.
For whatever... I know that it couldn't physically be from the 2000s.
I know, right?
But, because he was very dead.
Yeah.
But like...
And Space Mutiny was the year before.
But like... A, Space Mutiny coming out in 1988.
I know, right? I think it was filmed in 1483.
Like... Definitely. Yeah, Brown went back in time to film that movie.
Got younger. I didn't know this. Fun fact about Reb Brown.
Uh huh.
So the lady in Space Mutiny.
Yes.
The professor's daughter. I think I forgot her name.
The one who's barely wearing any clothes.
She, like the first time we see her, she's in like a one piece bikini.
Yeah.
Not bikini. One piece swimsuit.
One piece.
That's his actual wife.
Wow,
they're actually married.
Are they still married?
Yeah,
good for
them. They seem to be happily, and that I find that adorable. Like,
I wonder if the ya is his is his O face.
Oh, it's his cum noise. We're watching the movie. Diddly did.
In the violence of the night.
You don't know in a dream within a dream. That was the one song they had for Laser Mission.
TJ.
Yeah?
That might be the best movie we've seen.
Dude, it was incomprehensible, but it was freaking fun. It was the most fun I've had watching a movie in a long time.
Yeah, it's in the running with Flying Ryan, I think.
And we have a 69-cent special first.
So the fun score,
Sorry. Okay. I think we're better. I think we're good. Okay. Okay, continue.
The fun score, which has replaced the good score.
Yeah, because it doesn't matter if the movie's good. It matters if the movie's fun to watch.
Right. And that's basically what I meant by good anyway.
Yeah, it's more clear on what the score actually is representing.
Went from a 5 at the beginning, which all of them start at 5. This is a rubric.
Yep.
And it jumped up to a 6 about an hour in.
Yeah.
Because there's a part where he wrestles a dude out of a window or onto off the roof.
Yeah.
They both fall down. Brandon Lee gets up. He's unscathed. And then he turns around. The dude wrestling is impaled on a fucking fence. Immediate hard cut. He's mid fight with a ninja.
Yeah. It's incredible.
We're never told who the ninja is.
No, it's just because you're expecting because it's fairly slow. Lee gets up and he looks over and the guy clearly they were going for he was gonna step aside and they were gonna zoom closer to see the dude on the fence.
Or we would cut to to show Brandon Lee's face. He's all right.
Or fuck you. But no, it was immediately, ninja!
Right.
And there were several moments in this movie where it felt like
the shots editing, were just in wrong order.
The editor just got bored and was next!
Yeah. This movie is a fucking incomprehensible plot. Or rather, the plot is very comprehensible, but the
details
setting,
of such are
completely
gone.
Essentially, what we read on the back of the box, that's the plot.
Except for one point that I want to make.
Oh, yeah, what's that point?
So, you read...
Uh-huh.
The CIA and the KGB are in a race to reach renowned scientist Braun in Cuba.
Right.
I believe the start of the movie was in Cuba.
Yeah, I think so.
But there is no later establishment that we are no longer in Cuba. I understand Brandon Lee goes back to the U.S. to talk to Politician A and Politician Mustache.
See, I thought he was at the Cuban embassy.
Oh, yeah, because they did an establishing shot of the American embassy.
Of the embassy.
But, and then there's a desert, and they start driving.
Well, they start driving, and they're Brandon Lee's we'll be able to get to the border by nightfall.
And my first thought was,
what border?
Yeah, they're in Cuba. That's the ocean.
Mentions island.
Namibia.
So they're in Africa.
So they're in
now.
Africa. My geographical brain was imploding.
Isn't Namibia in Africa?
Namibia is in Africa.
Okay,
yes.
Great.
Excuse me.
Didn't want to seem ignoramus.
No, it is an African
like a
country.
Rick ignoramus.
African region. All rights observed.
So TJ.
Kevin.
This movie fucking ruled. Dude,
this movie was a blast.
From start to finish. No hits to pacing. The only hit to riffability was...
Subtitles.
There's no subtitles. And that's possibly only on our copy.
Right.
If you find a better copy, this was ripped from a VHS.
Clearly ripped from a VHS. So I wanted to throw some fun facts out there because I wanted to look up more about the people behind this movie.
Give me some fun facts.
So David A. Frank was credited as the story.
Yeah.
This is his only credit.
Oh, good.
and then
well it should be.
Philip Gutteridge, he was credited as the screenplay writer.
Mm-hmm.
And this is also his only credit.
Yep.
The director.
Mm-hmm.
I know he had Bo Davis, also known as BJ Davis, has apparently done a lot.
Okay.
Mainly stunt work. As I imagine a stunt director, stunt coordinator.
That tracks. There's a lot of good stunts
in this.
There's
a lot of fun stunts in this movie.
A lot of car stunts.
Yeah. He was a stunt man in these movies.
That
tracks. Let's see. Amazing Spider-Man 2 stuntman sues over alleged clothesline.
Really?
BJ Davis bent over backwards to get the gig, and now he's suing because of particularly brutal clothesline. and the supposed malice hiding behind it. The Hollywood Reporter picked up on the story of Davis. Lawsuit. This is written very poorly. Lawsuit against the Sony Pictures.
Oh, it's the Hollywood Reporter, so yeah.
Oh, got it. Okay. I don't know who they are.
It's a...
BJ Davis was 61.
Yeah, it's a rag.
Oh, like rag sheets? Okay. Yeah. Fuck them then.
I mean, it might be accurate news, but yes. it's kind of like the
He apparently New York Post. Also slapped an age discrimination lawsuit against Sony, Marvel, and others.
Yeah. I mean, if he's 61...
Veteran stuntman BJ Davis. So he was a stuntman, and then he directed Laser Mission.
And then he became a stuntman again after.
Yep. Yep. All right, BJ Davis.
Bidge.
Badge Davis.
Experience Beige Davis.
His wife, Julia Davis, was a stunt double for Angelina Jolie.
Wow.
He holds 2 world records, a high fall from a helicopter into an ocean from 180 feet, and an aerial neck suspension beneath a helicopter at 70 miles per hour at 1,000 feet for a period of 20 minutes.
Sorry, neck suspension?
Neck suspension.
So he's hanging by his neck.
Yes.
For 20 minutes.
Yeah. That's impressive.
Yeah.
Worked as a stuntman in over 180 films and television shows, and as a second unit director, stunt coordinator in over 250 films and television series.
Wow.
You know what?
Go BJ.
This was his first feature film.
Go BJ.
And you know what? It might have been an incoherent mess.
But goddamn if the stunts weren't nice.
Dude, it was action packed.
We weren't bored, like, at all.
No. Like I said, this was the most fun I had watching a movie in a while.
It was super probably fun. Bible Man was really fun.
Bible Man was fun yes. But this felt like a B movie that you sit down with friends.
This is like the classic thing that we're looking for.
Yeah. Oh!
Yeah?
Do you remember in the movie, the guy that is on the horse?
Mm-hmm.
And that shoots at him.
Yes.
And then
the guy that looks like Phil Collins.
Yeah, sort of flattish face. And then Brandon Lee's like, who do you work for? And he doesn't say anything. Punches him.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, oh, Phil Collins. That was BJ Davis.
Wow, BJ Davis looks a lot like Phil Collins.
I know. Oh, there's a picture of him surfing.
So,
God, he's done a lot. Holy shit. Meatloaf.
He was Meatloaf?
No, he was director of...
He became Meatloaf?
Yes. Meatloaf, I'd Lie for You, and That's the Truth.
Oh. Okay.
I guess.
That music video.
I guess. I don't fucking know. So yeah, so that's the director.
Mm-hmm. What else do we got?
We know about Brandon Lee.
Yeah.
We talked about him earlier.
Brandon Lee was so good in
this. Brandon Lee was fantastic.
He was
on the overacting side of acting.
Yeah, he was smarmy 100% of the way through.
Yeah. The girl that played
Alyssa,
her the actor's name is Debbie Monahan.
Mm-hmm.
She is also in nothing I reckon. Oh, she was on an episode of Star Trek Voyager.
Sweet.
As credited as adulteress.
Oh. Well,
so it's probably a small. She was also on Deep Space Nine.
Oh.
Deep Space Nine as Melissa. I don't know who that is. Probably a one episode arc thing.
Very plausibly.
She was on Seinfeld once.
Okay.
Diagnosis Murder as someone getting a breast implant.
Shockingly.
I know. She had some lovely breasts.
Yeah. And the movie was very, very like concerned with you knowing about it.
Yeah. I mean that's all.
No bear titty.
None. Made me a little sad. I feel like there was some cuts made to fit this on the DVD.
It does feel like
scene there was
missing.
Some sort of arbitrary cuts. Now I'd have to listen to the soundtrack.
Yeah.
To see if that's true, but I mean, both of the movies on this disc are exactly 85 minutes, or they say approximately, but they're almost spot on 85.
This
minutes.
One came out to exactly 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yes. Now, let me look at Laser Mission here. I want to see if there is a runtime.
Yeah, please.
See full summary.
Runtime.
That's a plot summary.
86 minutes.
where does it usually say the runtime?
Like on the main page.
I see nothing. So I don't know.
So it doesn't have a runtime.
Does not have a runtime.
Does not exist.
Let's look at some reviews.
Yeah, hit me up.
There's one.
Okay.
Oh, no, there's multiple.
Any good ones?
10 out of 10. I just dropped in to say, bon appetit.
Oh, that was my favorite scene, probably.
Probably one of the best bad low-budget movies I've ever seen. This movie was purchased by a friend at a gas station in a 50-pack with other bad movies. This means it cost me about 70 cents to watch, and it was worth every penny.
I would say probably, like, I would pay $5 to see this.
Oh, yeah. I'd watch this in, like, an Alamo Drafthouse sort of situation.
Yeah.
Or, like, an indie theater.
Oh, like, yeah, I would go to a drive-in and watch this.
Oh, God, yeah. That'd be a blast. Bad news. It appears the Russians are on some kind of laser mission.
I can't. There were no lasers.
There were no lasers. There was a crystal that implied lasers could be done, but...
But no actual lasers were fired. A lot of guns.
Okay, so the Russians are on a laser mission for a huge diamond and Ernest Borgnine in Cuba, which doesn't have a desert but still manages to appear as part of the scenery. This film is more than you could ever ask for. All-star cast, quality stock footage, crazy dialogue, and a budget of $32 and a case of Schlitz beer. Oh, and then on the opposite side of that, we've got a 3 out of 10. Where is this happening?
See, that's our big, like...
Yeah. Yeah, that's fine. This movie is classically bad. It seems to take place in Africa with Soviet, Cuban, and German soldiers involved. Debbie Monahan rounds up the cast of the professor's daughter. We will get into that. Spoiler alert.
Will we?
I mean, we can if we're recounting the plot.
I mean, what fucking plot is there to recount?
Sure, lasers. And their lack thereof. She is thoroughly annoying in this role, and her voice seems to increase in pitch as she gets louder and also very whiny. Yeah,
She becomes kind of like a... voice. Like a cartoon mouse by the end.
Yeah. The only redeeming qualities of her character is her push-up blue dress.
Very.
Which seems to be the only thing she wears during the movie. Well, they at least establish that.
No, they do, like, deliberately have them wash those clothes.
Yes.
Which is fucking...
I'm guessing because they couldn't afford another costume.
Yeah, but then why, like... Why put that into the film? It's such a small detail that works so well.
I know.
Because it, like... adds so much verisimilitude. I gotta give these guys credit. This movie fucking owns.
Let's see. Brandon Lee is supposed to be the star of this movie. However, he comes off quite flat. I disagree.
No, yeah, hard, I disagree. Hard disagree with that.
It's not just the acting that's bad, but also the action. I disagree with that too.
Yeah, no, this guy is...
I haven't seen so many drop kicks since Star Trek the original series. He
drop kick a lot.
Yeah, he also tries to emulate his father by doing characterizations, quote unquote. I don't know what that means.
His impersonations.
Oh, see, Chinese connection. The slapping manual sketch is a good indicator of how bad his acting is. That was fucking ridiculous. It was awful. We laughed at how bad it was.
Yeah.
It's funny, though. He also seems to pull off an Arab beggar. Oh, yeah, because he disguises himself as a beggar.
Which is weird.
Because they're in Cuba.
Supposedly.
I know. To compliment Brandon, and other than Debbie Monahan... Oh, in terms of cast, we get Mr. Borgnine, who he sees actually sleeping during a scene. Oh, I missed that.
Yes.
Oh, man, I missed that. A crazy Soviet colonel who refuses to die. Yep. A white big game hunter and a pair of bungling Cuban soldiers, a female sergeant and the beloved Manuel.
Nothing's, I fucking hate those two characters. I know.
Nothing sums up this movie more completely than the theme song of the movie, Mercenary Man.
Yeah.
Which seems to be playing in either Muzak form or the 80s bad rock form and the dialogue.
Yeah.
Such as, Brandon, I did my job. Pay me and let me get the hell out of here.
Yep.
CIA suit says, kiss my ass. Brandon says, no. This movie is definitely worth the $4 I spent on it. Rest in peace, Brandon Lee.
Dude, okay.
3 out of 10 and you get... Anyway.
So
a lot of, like, this is a really good bad movie reviews.
Yeah.
I completely agree. I think this is a fantastic...
This is a great, solid one to throw on with the friends.
Oh, yeah. This is definitely... I mean, I know we haven't recounted the plot yet, but this is definitely one of the archetypal bad movies you put on with friends.
Because I think action movies really lend themselves to that.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, whoa!
Because not to doubt any effort put into action movies, but the sheer existence of explosions,
it really
already
adds...
pulls an audience in.
Yeah,
like
especially 80s style explosions where it's a car just blows up.
Yeah, exactly. Oh God, yeah, there was like a car that flipped, and then just blew up.
Yeah,
we were sure that a couple other cars would just spontaneously blow up.
Yeah.
But they didn't.
Just, I kind of want to make a movie
where like a car runs out of gas and then explodes.
Ah, beans.
Oh wait, I think that's an angry video game nerd bit.
Probably, I don't know.
Fuck.
Laser Mission. Laser Mission.
Okay, so the plot of Laser Mission.
Yes.
Brandon Lee is a mercenary. His name is Michael Gold.
Michael Gold. Yep.
He is tasked to find Ernest Borgnine, who is a scientist that knows how to build a laser that is good at lasering.
Newsflash.
Huh?
According to Wikipedia, the runtime of Laser Mission is 84 minutes, so this was not cut down in any way, shape,
or form. In fact, it added.
Yeah, which makes this even funnier with some of the bizarre cuts that were made in this movie.
So he's tasked with finding Ernest Borgnine, who has figured out a way to shoot a laser at a diamond and create a nuclear bomb.
Another newsflash.
Uh-huh.
Laser Mission is presently in the United States public domain. Due to a failure to correctly register its copyright.
Really?
A U.S. copyright reassignment was filed in 91, but it is invalid as no underlying copyright registration exists.
Wow.
So you can probably find this fucking anywhere.
It's probably on YouTube.
Yeah.
If not, fuck it. We'll rip it and put it on there.
If it's legally in the public domain, yeah. Hell yeah. Enjoy.
This one's great. So... Brandon Lee is trying to find Ernest Borgnine, who's figured out a way to shoot a laser at a diamond and create a nuclear bomb.
Which...
Not how that works.
Nope. I mean... No.
I also realized that diamonds are the Crystal Pepsi of coal.
Mm. I do like Crystal Pepsi.
You would.
Dude, it's tasty.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I also like Pepsi Blue, so...
You would think so.
What? I know.
You and your fucking bad tastes.
My good tastes.
Whatever.
Pepsi Blue, baby. Hashtag bring back Pepsi Blue.
Hashtag bring back Pepsi Noir.
Was that a coffee one?
Yeah, it was a coffee one.
I never tried that.
They, as of at least a few years ago, and I don't want to look it up to check, they were still selling it in France.
Ah. Well, I mean, they drink more coffee than...
Yeah, but...
Anyone.
No, Italy.
Yeah, true. Well, they drink more marinara sauce.
Marinara. So, Brandon Lee goes to find Ernest Borgnine, and he does. And then they're talking very loudly.
Movie over.
Oh, yeah. On the beach.
Yeah.
And they get
in
hit
Cuba,
by
apparently.
Darts. And they wake
by
up
Russians.
In Russian custody.
Somewhere.
Presumably still in Cuba because of the vaguely racist Cuban guy.
Yeah.
They're going to cut off your head mañana.
Oh, my God. That was the moment that I was like, we're in for a fucking treat.
That was 7 minutes in.
I know.
By 12 minutes in, we'd already had a huge action scene.
Ah.
They had a fucking guillotine ready to cut his head off. I'm like, where'd you get a guillotine?
Yeah. Where the fuck are we?
When are we?
Despite the name of the movie, there are not that many scenes in the movie depicting lasers. Yeah, zero.
There's none.
Wait. No, Wikipedia, get out of here. At least two scenes feature lasers as Michael Gold sets off a laser-guided motion detector. No, that's...
Okay, all
that
right.
That doesn't count.
Who wrote that in?
That doesn't
who
count.
Who edited that in?
Some fucking pedant.
Wikipedia, we gotta take over this Wikipedia page.
We're taking over.
Listeners, I'm not going to say you should go vandalize the Laser Mission Wikipedia page.
Just correct that line.
Yeah, if you did happen to do that and it happened to have been suggested by something that I said, I can't really stop you. And thus I can't really be held liable, US government.
Got him. Nailed it. Fucking da-da.
So he breaks out of Russian Cuban prison with a lot of explosions and death.
Mm-hmm.
And then the kind of the rest of the movie happens. Like, he goes to the Americans.
Yeah.
They tell him, you got to go and get him. Yeah. He's like, how am I supposed to do that? Go find his daughter. She works as a veterinarian. And he go finds the veterinarian, and then they talk, and then they're together now.
And they go.
And they go.
That's
and,
the rest of the movie, is them going.
Action scenes.
Go. I mean, this is not some sort of fucking mind-blowing
this isn't the
plot.
This doesn't have the plot intricacies of Flying Ryan.
No, not at all. God, the nuance.
This doesn't have the, you know, story-based je ne sais quoi of Spookly the Square Pumpkin.
Or the tannins and mouth feel of something like Future Sport.
Right.
Yeah.
Wait, which one of our movies we've seen has the best mouth feel, do you think?
That's a good question.
Mm-hmm.
Mouth feel. I'm fearing being the
Boa.
Boa, that's a good one. Maybe to me, Free Jack. Yeah.
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 Even though it's grimy.
Yeah.
It's a grimy sort of mouth feel.
Mm-hmm.
Free Jack.
Oh, you're talking just saying the title?
Well, and also the movie itself.
Yeah, I thought you were doing some like abstract ass synesthesia sort of exercise.
Either.
Yeah.
Boa was definitely going for the abstract synesthesia. Yeah.
Flying Ryan is kind of fun, but that's a little more jaw work.
Listen, if you don't have to work the jaw, then it's not like a satisfying experience for anybody.
Got him.
Then it's just like, oh man, what?
Good, yeah, woo.
Woo.
Ooh. So yeah, there's not much to the plot. There's a lot of action.
There's a lot of explosions.
Brandon Lee kicks ass.
He does. Brandon Lee.
Taken well before his time. Like his father, Bruce Lee.
He did a lot of like voices in this.
That were weird.
They were all weird.
Yeah.
There's this one scene where he's impersonating like a captain in the Cuban army. And he just slaps a dude around a lot.
Oh my god. That was mind-blowing, that scene. Like, I just sort of sat agape.
Like, the two Cuban, like, comic relief characters.
Yeah.
Manuel and Sergeant.
And Lady.
They were my least favorite characters.
Surprisingly, Sergeant is the one that gets closest to Bear Boob.
Yeah, because they end up in the water, and then they come out of the water, and she's got a wet t-shirt contest thing going.
Yeah, and
he's like, Sergeant, you're a woman.
We're like,
I was always a woman.
We're like, clearly, you blind buffoon.
Like, was that a secret?
Yeah.
She's in form-fitting clothing. It's not like a Mulan situation.
Yeah. I don't know. That was weird. And you could clearly tell that there was no accent coach.
No.
Anywhere.
No. And no actual people of any ethnicity.
Ernest Borgnine is apparently supposed to be German, but he sounds freaking...
He drops his accent like...
Mexican.
Every other like line.
Oh, my God.
TJ, Kevin, what was your favorite scene?
It was clearly the ninja scene.
The ninja scene is very good.
It's the editing makes it. Like, if it were edited normally, I wouldn't have remembered it at all. But it was that hard cut
to ninja.
It was
hard cut to ninja is the name of our movie.
Oh hell yeah. Hard cut to ninja is our new fucking sub series. But it was just so like, oh, they fall over the roof.
And then Brandon
coughs up a little blood because he landed flat on his back on the ground. And then he looks over and we're like, oh, yeah, that guy's, oh, my God, a ninja.
Yeah, it just cuts.
Yeah.
He seems just as surprised as we are.
Yes. Oh, my God, it was incredible.
Yeah, I think that one's up there.
There are a bunch of fun ones.
Where he's running away and falls through the roof of
people's house. That's where you get the, like, he was just dropping in to say bon appetit.
He falls onto these, like, people's, like, dinner table.
Yeah.
Knocking their spaghetti or whatever over.
Yeah, I saw noodles.
And, like, he has the nerve to have that, like, one-liner.
Yeah.
Just before he leaves. Like, just go.
Yeah. Just, like, apologize and leave.
Brandon.
Ugh.
Jesus.
Michael Gold.
Michael Stipe.
Michael Sarah. Michael Myers.
If Mike Myers was in this movie, He would be Ernest Borgnine, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, we were talking during the movie because there are two people in this movie that were also in Space Mutiny.
Yes.
And
that got us on to Reb Brown, the best character in, or the best actor in Space Mutiny.
Yes. And so you were wondering, who would Reb Brown play in this movie? Who would you cast Reb Brown
the,
as?
The obvious answer is Brandon Lee's character, but you can't replace Brandon Lee.
No, Brandon Lee is fantastic. Brandon? Brandon Lee.
Right? Yes.
Brandon Lee. Not Brendan Lee. Not like Brendan Fraser.
Yeah, not Brendan.
Brandon Lee.
Brant. B-17.
Balmer. The code. Find the code. But no, and then...
Get to sleep in minimum time with maximum strength Nitol.
No, it was, the professor. We said the professor, but then it wouldn't make any sense that he would get captured
because right.
Reb Brown is a slab of meat.
Yeah.
What other movies is Reb Brown in? Space Mutiny and a bunch of, was it like Commando?
I don't think it was Commando.
I thought there was something with Commando in the title.
Look up Reb Brown.
I'm going to look up Reb Brown. Rebecus Brownicus. Punch in my bottle. American former football player.
He was a football?
And actor.
He was a football?
He was a football. Strike Commando.
Strike Commando.
He's also in Robo War.
He was.
As the same sort of guy.
As the Robo.
I didn't know he played football. He played fullback for USC.
Oh.
During this 1967 season.
God, he's old.
He's 71.
Wow, still kicking, though.
Still looks great, though, for his age.
Wow, he does look like a 71-year-old version of himself, though.
I know.
That's weird to me.
I know.
The passage of time.
I know. Okay. He appeared in the films The Girl Most Likely To... and...
I'm sorry, what was that last one? How many S's is that?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Released as Snake in the United Kingdom and Japan. It's a 1973 American horror film starring Struther Martin, Dirk Benedict, and Heather Menzies. But Reb Brown apparently showed up in this movie. Where's the reception tab? There we go.
Cool as hell.
It was okay. He later appeared in guest starring roles in several Universal Studios produced television series, including Emergency, which I think I watched when I was younger, because it was on like TV Land or something. Marcus Welby, MD, Kojak, the Eddie Capra Mysteries, and the Rockford Files. He also appeared as Rebel, a Southern boy who has a fight with Ralph Malph in Happy Days, and played Jim Bridger in the All-Star miniseries Centennial.
He was also in one... episode of Miami Vice, if I'm yes. remembering correctly.
Yes, you are. Also appeared in Three's Company as Elmo, a date for Chrissy Snow. He also played Captain America in a made-for-TV films, yep. Captain America and Captain America 2, Death Too Soon, during the late 70s, part of the same development deal that yielded the Lou Ferrigno vehicle, The Incredible
yep,
Hulk.
Yep, yep, yep.
In the film Big Wednesday, Brown played the role of Enforcer. He landed the supporting role of the only starting white member of the team in the college basketball comedy Fast Break, starring Gabe Kaplan. Continuing, from the Future.
That's a...
Uncommon Valor. Death of a Soldier.
Death of a Salesman.
Strike Commando. Cage. Oh, Cage with Lou Ferrigno.
Cage.
Yeah.
Oh, Captain America and the Incredible Hulk teaming up at last.
He appears in the third season Miami Vice episode Viking Bikers from Hell.
Yep.
Where he played a sociopathic biker avenging his buddy's recent death.
Yep, yep.
After not appearing on screen for 15 years, Brown co-starred in the 2012 film Night Claws.
That's right, and he dies in that one.
In the movie, not in real life.
No, because he's alive still. Yes. I like how in this Brandon Lee movie we're talking about Reb Brown.
Well, yep.
I would replace the girl.
Just have Brandon Lee, like, just... And fucking Reb Brown just
making out.
Nailing each other. Although I'd still give Reb Brown the cleavage shirt.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He's got the pecs.
He's a muscle boy.
At least at the time.
Yes, yeah. Well, yeah, if we're talking 19...
89?
Yeah. Well, how old would he be in 89? He would be in 41. His 20?
Really?
He was born in 48.
Oh.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. Because Brandon Lee.
Oh, well, he couldn't have been in this movie. Because he was in Roll Fizzle Beef.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yeah, he was in Space Mutiny.
He was too busy. Although that does mean, you know, there were people who were in Space Mutiny.
Let me look up Space Mutiny here. Because I think with Space Mutiny, it came out in 1988, but it was like filmed in fucking like 81. Production. Here we go. Production.
Production.
No, this doesn't fucking help. Got cast. No, plot. No.
Yeah.
Yep. Yippers.
Got it.
The director of Space Mutiny has stated on his website that he was called away from set due to a death in the family before filming began and delegated directing duties to the assistant director. Contractually, he was apparently unable to get an Alan Smithy credit. Some commentators began to compile rather large lists of continuity errors. The engineering areas of the ship were filmed in an industrial building with unfuturistic brick walls, windows, and concrete floors, while the bridge looks remarkably like a vintage 1980s corporate office. Calgon's torture chamber set features contemporary computer keyboards inexplicably mounted on the walls. The characters tend to wear silver or white lame outfits that were common to science fiction futurist predictions of the time, while many of the female characters wear spandex leotards. It doesn't say anything about... Because I thought I heard somewhere that in Space Mutiny, this is now a Space Mutiny episode, that in Space Mutiny, the filming actually took place much earlier than when the film came out.
Which would make sense, given how it, like, looks.
Yeah, I'm guessing it was early 80s when it was actually filmed.
Very possible.
That's what I'm guessing. Because that would make Reb in his, like, early 30s.
Yeah.
And he looks early 30s in that movie.
I mean, yeah, but Reb Brown kind of always looks like he's in his early 30s.
Yeah. He's just got good genetics.
Speaking of good genetics...
Brandon Lee.
There's not a whole lot to say about this one, folks. He kicks the fuck out of people. The only knocks that this movie gets...
No subtitles.
Is no subtitles, and it's got a completely incomprehensible plot.
Completely incomprehensible setting.
Yeah, setting, specifically. Yeah, like, where the fuck are we?
Yeah, like we said before, the plot is Brandon Lee is going to get paid to get scientist and his laser crystal.
Yeah. Brandon Lee saves the day.
We don't understand how the laser crystal does, which is not important, but it's still stupid. There's a bunch of characters that just show up and then leave.
And then leave.
A lot of bizarre editing and sequencing.
Yeah. There's one bit, like, right at the end where he goes... Okay. Ernest Borgnine shoots a guy.
Yes.
Meets up with the Cubans.
Yes.
Cut to Brandon Lee and the girl in the cave.
Yep.
They do a thing. Cut back to Ernest Borgnine with Brandon Lee meeting him. And Ernest Borgnine's like, where's my daughter? And he's like, I'll go find your daughter. You meet back up at the car. Hard cut. They're at the car. Ernest Borgnine and the Cubans are at the car. And Brandon Lee takes... Alyssa down to the car as if it felt like those scenes were mixed up.
Yeah, it felt like someone was like manually cutting this film
as like actual film automatically cutting it.
Yeah, as opposed to modern day like nonlinear editing.
Sure.
Like actually there's a reason it's called cutting film.
Yeah, yeah. They had to actually like cut it and stacked all of the cuts
and the camera shots on like a table.
Yeah.
And then they reached for their drink and it all fell on the floor and they're like, oh fuck, and they had like put it back in the stack and they just taped it back together that way.
That would not at all surprise me.
Like they said that guy said the budget was like $38 in a case of Schlitz.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That tracks, honestly. Yeah.
And the editor got most of that case, I guess.
TJ,
Kevin,
would you recommend this movie to a friend?
Absolutely.
And why is the answer yes?
The answer is yes because this is a blast. I recommend this to a friend as long as we watch it together.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because alone, this might just sort of be like I mean, it's fun to watch, but with many.
I mean, any bad movie is better with
other people. Mm-hmm. Like, I wouldn't watch The Room alone ever.
Right.
Even though I love that movie very dearly.
Yes.
But I would watch it with any amount of friends. Oh, I wouldn't watch Fateful Findings alone.
No. Neil Breen movies sort of require a group.
They do.
Because with groups, experiencing like a show or experiencing something, there's always a desire, and the influence of the group causes reactions to be a lot stronger.
Mm-hmm.
So like, if I'm watching a movie, like, I have my reactions in my head, but with a group, it's like the reactions come out because like there's that whole social aspect of watching the movie.
Like in this movie, whenever there is an explosion, we're like, both go,
yeah! Yeah, and when you're alone, I mean, you can do that. I'm not judging, but...
But it would be like, whoa!
Yeah, oh, okay. A lot more measured.
Cool explosion.
But when you're with a group, like, you...
You're performing
you want,
a little
bit. Yeah, you want to show the group your enthusiasm for certain parts to see if you get that back.
It's the same reason why, like, watching wrestling and stuff alone is less appealing than watching it, like, with a group.
I tend to only watch, like, really, really good matches alone.
Right.
Because I can then appreciate them more closely. But wrestling shows as a whole is so much better with a group.
Yeah.
And with like a lot of things.
This is one of the few movies that we've watched for this show that I would recommend in a friendly setting without alcohol.
Without poisons?
Yeah, without various poisons.
Yeah.
Like, this one's fine.
Yeah, no, this is just like...
It doesn't need any accoutrement.
Yeah, there's nothing that you need to loosen up about. Like, it doesn't feel like it takes itself seriously, so you don't have to take it seriously.
Well, and not only that, but like, not only does it not take itself seriously, but it knows that it doesn't have to waste your fucking time.
Yeah, and it's not...
It knows why we're both here.
You also don't need those poisons to get yourself into a mindset of someone that has no human mindset. Someone like Neil Breen.
Right.
Where it's like, I'm just trying to understand things are coming from.
He's got blue-orange morality.
Yeah, exactly. What, it makes skin tone look good?
Well, so it's a trope thing. Where, like, you know how, like, see it in black and white. If someone's like system of like thought processes and morality is outside of our own, they don't see it in black and white. They see it in like blue and orange.
Oh, got it. In different contrasting colors.
It's typically like used for like Eldritch horrors.
Got it.
Like Cthulhu.
Green and purple.
Right. They would have like, they might have a system of morality and like thought processes and everything, but like we don't fucking understand
what exactly. The hell just like mean Neil Breen, it. Chthonian horror. Neil Breen.
I think he might be a Chthonian horror.
He seems the type that would inflict the things like his movies on the world just to watch people go insane.
Yeah, yeah. And Neil Breen, Fatagen.
I mean, and as a member of his cult, like,
would you? Yeah. Would you join an evil Neil Breen cult?
Not an evil one.
Would you join a neutral Neil Breen cult?
If it were like a book club? Yeah, absolutely.
What is an evil cult if not a really hardcore book club?
An evil cult's just a club with knives.
Is it? Right?
And we're not reading books. We're not flipping pages. We're flipping open things. Sacrifice that goat. Sacrifice that goat.
Would you recommend this movie to an enemy?
That's a good question.
Right? Because normally it's like would I recommend it to an enemy to make them suffer?
Right.
But like this one bops.
I would, yes, to try and make them not my enemy anymore.
Ooh, this is a negotiation tactic.
This is like a, hey, I know you don't like me, but I think you'll enjoy
this
movie.
I think we could bond over...
Yeah, and come back and let me know what you think about it.
I would share this movie with an enemy as a threat.
I'll make you watch Laser Mission if you mess with me.
No. I'll show it to them and be like, I know how to do that drop kick that Brandon Lee can do.
Which one?
Yeah.
Just keep them guessing. Or you can even, if they're not particularly bright, threaten them that all the laser technology they talk about in the movie
is real.
Is real. And
I know how it works.
And your dad made it.
My dad works at Nintendo, and they taught him how to...
Exactly. Your dad has one of those crystals that if you shoot a laser at it, you get a nuclear bomb.
My dad was on the team that made the Blu-ray, and it turns out the laser in the Blu-ray can also be shot at a diamond to make a nuclear...
I'm going to make a nuclear weapon. No, I don't know. I loved it. Laser Mission, fantastic.
Yeah, I mean,
love it to death.
Really, we could have stopped this review like shortly after we came back.
I know, but we want to keep at least a semi-regular length for our episodes.
I probably wouldn't show this one to my mom.
No, I don't know if my mom would be into it. I don't think she would take offense to it.
Yeah,
I think she'd just be this like, is more her type of movie.
Yep, this is definitely a bad action movie.
Yeah, like she might find it a little silly, but not to the extent we do.
No.
And yeah, there's probably parts where she's like, "Oh, not her thing." But finding out this is in the public domain,
yeah,
go find it.
Find it.
It's probably on YouTube. Like,
if I can find it, I'll put it in the show notes.
Absolutely. Because I mean, I've been on a spree of finding older movies that have like lapsed in copyright and stuff mm-hmm. like that on YouTube. There's a whole bunch out there. There's a ton.
Fun fact, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer is in the public domain, technically.
Oh, hey!
Because it's copyright, like, date in
1812.
It's 1164, because they did it in Roman numerals, and they fucked up.
Oh, my God.
Because it's supposed to be 1964.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And they did 11.
Good job.
And since 1164 is a little bit before...
It's a little bit of time ago.
That's why you get, like... those cell phone commercials with the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer characters.
Oh, wow.
They don't have to pay anybody for that.
Got it. That makes a lot of sense. Apparently, SeaWorld, I was talking to our friend Brandon.
Uh-huh.
SeaWorld has like a Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer like section
yeah.
around Christmas. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Because we were both confused. We're like, why would they like partner with that license?
Yeah, it turns
holder?
Out you don't have to.
There is none.
You that can just sense. Use those characters.
That makes perfect
sense. The song
sense.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer... is more copyrighted
that's fucking ludicrous.
Than the special Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
He had a very shiny nose.
If you ever saw it, Brandon Lee would kick you off of a roof.
And then you would get impaled on a fence.
And then you would teleport into fighting with a ninja.
Oh my God, ninja!
I can't believe that ninja cut.
Dude, and there is no other indication in the entirety of any part of this movie
that there would be a ninja.
Yes, that ninjas are a thing. He's fighting militaries.
And then a white guy ninja.
It's a white guy ninja. It felt like an outtake.
It felt like, who's that guy that Cinema Snob always like reviews movies?
Come Tie Ted.
Yeah, but those movies.
Hold on, I'll look it up.
Brandon
Fisher.
No. Oh, it's gonna drive me crazy. Godfrey Ho.
Ah, there you go. Okay.
It's like a Godfrey Ho movie.
Yeah.
And like suddenly there's a ninja in it.
It was that scene. Like I was already enjoying.
Dude, we were into the movie from minute one.
Yeah.
Oh, dude. Oh, the title sequence.
Dude, it was immediate.
Where it's just a bunch of people like getting ready for like military action. We never see them again.
Nope.
And then the opening to.
Excuse us.
Someone had better have died.
Someone had better have stole a giant laser crystal.
Oh, I hope not.
Yeah, right?
But then the letter's like, LaserMission. Like, just show up.
Dude, the thing that shocked me the most mm-hmm. about Laser Mission was there's the menu for this DVD is you choose Laser Mission or Abraxas. You choose how you want to die.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we chose Laser Mission, and it was, boom, you're in the movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Menu transition away or just go to black for a bit and
no.
Movie fades in like every other movie in existence. It was boom, you see dudes, like it felt like I skipped a chapter.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was the start.
And also
of the
DVD menu is playing the song from Laser Mission.
The one song they have.
Oh, in the credits it said song by.
Yes. Music and song by the same guy, because there was one song through this whole fucking movie.
That song is dope also.
It was a bit of a bop.
If you can watch Laser Mission, and you can and should, get a bunch of your friends together, you know, get your knitting circle together.
It is on YouTube.
And yeah, hell yeah, brother.
Multiple times, actually.
Hell yeah, but, well, it's in the public domain. Of course it is. I wonder if there's a better, like, print on YouTube than there is on this DVD.
I highly doubt it, but...
They're probably all from the same print.
Yeah. Laser Mission Dead VCR Cut? I don't even know what that means.
We'll have a look at that and if it's good.
Why is it 5 minutes long?
Oh, because it's a...
Oh, I see.
It's like a...
Oh, Dead VCR is the name of the channel. Okay.
Oh, we're not going to put that in the notes.
No.
Look it up your own damn self.
Just look up, just on YouTube, type Laser Mission.
I mean, I'll put one that I like in there.
Yeah. There's a couple good ones, it looks like.
That's a note for you, future Kevin.
Hey, hey, hey. Do it.
Hey, hey, hey.
Hey, hey, hey. Mission your laser today.
TJ?
Yeah, really, the biggest disappointment was just the lack of laser.
No lasers. There was a mission, though.
It was all mission. All mission, no laser.
I liked the part where Alyssa, like, hot wires the car, and, like, she left a note for Brandon Lee that just says, gone shopping.
Oh, yeah. In his afterglow, he falls asleep after, like, a five-hour-long
fuck session.
In a hotel somewhere.
Yeah.
And she gets up because the dry cleaning has come back.
Yeah.
She sees
the goons getting out of the car to come get him.
Yeah, so she gets dressed real quick, writes a little note. Brandon Lee's knocked out.
Cold. He's fucking unconscious.
He's drained in more ways than one. And she goes downstairs and, like, sneaks into the bad guy's car and just drives, like, and just drives off.
Right.
Get her! And then we smash cut back to Brandon Lee slowly waking up. Alyssa looks at the note on the pillow and says, gone shopping, love Alyssa. He's like, okay.
Just goes right back to sleep.
The comedic timing on those cuts was actually really good.
The comedic timing with a lot of the fucking shit in this movie is very, very good.
And if it was aiming for more humor, I think it would be even better.
I think
better.
It was.
But, oh, man. Some of the cuts, they were hilarious, I think, unintentionally.
The ninja was definitely hilarious.
The ninja was amazing. But
that one's probably, they had a bunch of completely unusable footage, and they're like, oh, fuck, how do we fucking get this in there?
Yeah, can we put, like, a ninja in here?
Yeah. Yeah, that's... We don't have to have every fucking episode end on a... You know, be fucking good.
We don't have to have every episode be good.
Because there's not a whole lot to talk about.
No, there's not. But, I mean... It wasn't like our other Lost episodes where...
No, this is a good...
Where one... Those were bad, and we couldn't get any material out of.
Yeah.
This is good, and so we want to share that, and we have a few things we could talk about.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, we're gonna talk about it.
We got Brandon Lee.
We're not going to show you those other ones, though. We locked them in our basement.
And also, we're flogging them as we speak.
I'm tempted to just delete them off my hard drive.
What were those again? They were...
It was Final Events of the Bible.
Yeah.
And... It was only two of them. I forgot the other one. Some other Bible one, I think. They were just bad.
So, TJ.
Kevin.
Our next one we're going to do is Abraxas.
It is Abraxas. Spoiler alert.
It's on the same DVD.
Oh, we forgot to talk about spoiler alert. It doesn't matter.
What?
When I said, like, oh, you get the professor's daughter. Turns out she's not. She's another mercenary.
Oh, yeah.
They used her as a distraction for Brandon Lee. And someone to direct him towards the professor.
Right.
While the two CIA dudes found the actual daughter.
But we're never told why the actual daughter is important.
Yeah. So, it felt like a meaningless twist.
It was a meaningless twist.
Yeah.
She could have been the daughter the whole time and it wouldn't have mattered.
Yeah.
Although we should have probably guessed because she doesn't have a fake accent.
Yeah, she doesn't have a German accent.
She does have
whatever Ernest Borgnine is going
cartoon for. Mouse voice. But
yeah. It's in a good chest. But no, great movie. Love it. But yeah, we're going to watch Abraxas. What were you going to go on?
I was just going to lead us out.
Okay, lead us out.
We're going to watch Abraxas starring Jesse the Body Ventura next.
You know he's known as Jesse the Mind Ventura now.
Let's talk about that.